بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the beneficial sayings of the Book of Tawheed, and the explanation is based on that of our Shaykh رحمه الله, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen. And the title of this chapter is Babun, chapter قول الله تعالى, the saying of Allah the Most High. And then he cited the verse in Surah Saba, chapter 34, verse 23, حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. Now, what's the relevance of this title? What is the relevance of this title concerning the matter of Tawheed and Shirk? The statement by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its meaning is حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ, so that when terror is removed from their hearts, they will say, what is it that your Lord had said? They will say the truth, and He is the Most High, the Most Great. What is the first matter is, what is the relevance of this topic or this title to the subject on Tawheed and Shirk? This, the answer is, this is from the proofs that no one deserves the right to be an associate or a partner with Allah the Most High. That is because, with the exception of some of the children of Adam, the angels who are closest of the creation to Allah, they go into a state of sudden fear when they hear the speech of Allah the Most High. And this is the closest of the creation to Allah Azza wa Jal, for the exception of some of the children of Adam. Yet, sudden fear occurs to them when they hear the saying or the speech of Allah the Most High. The saying in this verse, حَتَّى إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ, so much so that when terror is removed from their hearts, meaning the state of fear disappears, or is removed from their hearts upon sudden fear. And whose hearts? The hearts of the angels. Because the pronoun قلوبهم, their hearts, the pronoun refers to them, as we will learn from the hadith of Abi Huraira, which will come after the discussion of this verse. And no one or none of the creation knows the tafsir of the Quran, the explanation of the Quran, better than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When terror is removed from their hearts, they will say, meaning they will say to each other, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, what is it that your Lord has said? And they will say, الحق, the truth, that He said the truth. Because He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the truth, huwa al-haq. And nothing comes from Him except that which is haq, is truth. And He, Allah the Most High, does not say, nor does He act except the truth. And the truth concerning the speech of Allah is the truthfulness in the news and in what he informs, and justice in the rulings. And justice in the rulings. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 115, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. And the word of your Lord and the word of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth and in justice. And it does not mean that when they say the truth, meaning they say that Allah says the truth, it doesn't mean that his saying could be falsehood. But this is an actualization of the reality. So if it is as such, and if it is known with the angels that Allah only says that which is the truth, then why is the exclamation? Why is the exclamation? What is it that your Lord has said? Why is the exclamation? If it is known, the answer, this is a way of praiseworthy or praising. Praising what Allah says, and that He only says that which is the truth. Then in the next part of the statement, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. And He is Al-Ali, the Most High. Al-Kabir, the Most Great. None is greater than Him. The relevance of this verse to Tawheed. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is singled out as the Most High and the Most Great, then He must be singled out in worship. In worship. And so none deserves to be worshipped except Him, because He is the Most High and He is the Most Great. Now, the highness of Allah is of two types. The highness of His attributes. The highness of His attributes. And this is a matter of consensus by everyone who ascribes to Islam, even the Jahmites and the like. Even the deviant Jahmites and the like. The second is the ulu of al-Dhat, the highness of His essence, of Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is negated or denied by many who ascribe themselves to Islam, like the Jahmites and some of the Ash'arites. Even though some of the verifying scholars of the Ash'arites affirm ulu with that, affirm the highness of Allah's self. Allah's highness does not oppose that He is with His creation, hearing them, knowing about them, seeing them. That is because nothing is like unto Allah in all of His attributes. We affirm all of His attributes to Himself without resemblance to His creation. In this verse there are benefits. The first benefit is that the angels fear Allah. The angels fear Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nahl 16:50, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. They fear their Lord above them. And this is affirmation that Allah is above creation. And they do what they are commanded. The second, affirming the hearts for the angels, meaning the angels possess hearts. Because Allah stated, حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم, until fear has disappeared or been removed from their hearts. Now, the third, affirming that they are bodies and they are not just mere spirits devoid of body form. And this is a matter known by necessity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Fatir 35 verse 1, جَاعِلِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا أُولِي أَجْنِحَةٍ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعٍ. Allah made the angels messengers with wings, two or three or four. He increases in creation what He wills. And verily Allah is able to do all things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi salam having 600 wings blocking the horizon, as in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, saying that they are just spirits is a denial of them in reality. And this is a false saying. However, they don't eat nor do they drink. However, their drinking and their eating is tasbih, is declaring, making tasbih, declaring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free of all imperfection. As Allah stated in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:20, يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. They, the angels, make tasbih, glorifying Allah's praises, declaring Him free of all imperfection and or any defect, night and day, and they never slacken to do so. In this there is dalil, there is evidence, that their nights and their days are filled with their glorification of Allah. And that's why Allah stated in this verse, يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلِ, they praise the night. And He didn't say يُسَبِّحُونَ فِي اللَّيْلِ, He didn't say that they make tasbih during the night, but rather they praise, glorify His praises night and day, meaning their praise is continuous. Their praise is continuous. And tasbih is glorifying Allah above that which does not fit Him. This is the meaning of tasbih. The fourth benefit is that they have intellect. The angels have intellect. That is because the heart is the place of intellect. This is in direct opposition to those who say that they have no intellect. Also, we say that they have intellect because they make tasbih of Allah, praise Allah, glorify Him above any imperfection, and they also make tawaf around al-Bayt al-Ma'mur. They circulate the inhabited house, which is above the Kaaba, directly above the Kaaba in heavens. Now, the fifth benefit from this verse is affirming al-Qawl, the saying to Allah, and that His saying is related to His Mashi'a. Allah's speech or saying is related to His will. He says as He wants and whenever He wants. Because here it came in the conditional construct. إِذَا فُزِّعَ إِذَا فُزِّعَ عَنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ. When the heart, when fear is banished from their hearts, or until fear vanish from their hearts. This is in opposition to the Ash'arites, who say that Allah does not speak in accordance with His will. Rather, they say Allah's speech is the meaning established with Himself. So therefore it is established eternally with Him, like the attribute of knowledge, like the attribute of ability, like the attribute of hearing, like the attribute of seeing. It is established eternally with Allah, and that it is unrelated to His mashi'ah, to His will. And there is no doubt that this is false, batil. And in reality, this is a negation of the speech of Allah. And that's why you find them saying that Allah speaks and His speech is a meaning established with Himself eternally. Then what about the speech which Musa alayhi salam heard from Allah, and that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard, and which was brought upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Jibreel alayhi salam? They say this is created, something created expressing the speech which is established with Allah. And if in fact you think about it, this is the saying of the Jahmites, as even acknowledged by some of the verifying Ash'arites when they said, لَيْسَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْجَهْمِيَةِ فَرْقٍ. There is no difference between us and the Jahmites in reality. That is because we agreed that this which is between the binding covers of the Mus'haf, of the printed copy, is created. However, they said, we say, meaning the Ash'arites, it denotes the speech of Allah. We say it denotes the speech of Allah. While they, the Jahmites, they said, it is the speech of Allah. So if you think about it, the Jahmites, quote unquote, are better than them in the sense they say this is the speech of Allah, but they are worse than the Ash'arites in the sense that they explicitly negate. In that they explicitly rather state that the speech of Allah is created. So the Jahmites are, quote, end of quote, better than them in the sense they say it is the speech of Allah, but they are worse than the Ash'arites in that they explicitly state that kalamullahi makhluq, that the speech of Allah is created. Sixth benefit: affirming that the saying of Allah is the truth, al-haq. And this came in the Quran. Allah stated in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:4, وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ يَهْدِ السَّبِيلِ. But Allah says the truth, you see that? And He guides to the right way. And in Surah Sad 38, 84 فالحق والحق أقول. Allah says, the truth is, and the truth I say. The truth is, and the truth I say. فالحق والحق أقول. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say except that which is the truth. Because He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the truth. And nothing that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that it is the truth. This is concerning this verse and its relevancy to the chapter of Tawheed. Then the author, rahimahullah, cited the hadith of Abi Hurairah, radiyallahu anhu, which is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari. He stated, of the Sahih, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قضى الله الأمر في السماء ضربت الملائكة بأجنحتها خضعانا لقوله كأنه سلسلة على صفوان ينفذهم ذلك حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. From Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when Allah decrees a matter in heaven, the angels flutter their wings or beat their wings in humility and submission to His words, to His sayings. And the sound is like the sound of a chain on smooth rocks. Sound like chains being dragged on smooth rocks. And they continue to do so until it enters their hearts. Then, when fear has been removed from their hearts, they, some of the angels say, what has your Lord said? They, the others, or the angels reply, the truth. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most high, the most great. And the listening thief, the stealthy listeners, and another listening thief hears it. So, one above the another. One above another. Sufyan, one of the narrators, described it by spreading out his fingers. And he, the stealthy listener, the thief, hears the words of Allah and conveys them. Hears the words of Allah and transmits them or conveys them to the one below him. And he conveys it to the one below, and so on, until it reaches the tongue of the magician or the fortune teller. And sometimes, the meteorite strikes him, meaning strikes the stealthy listener, before he can convey the news. And sometimes he conveys it before he is struck. And then he adds 100 lies to what he hears. And it is said, didn't he, the foreteller, tell us such and such on such and such a day? Then he is believed because of these words, which were overheard from the heaven. Is the hadith clear now? Okay. Let's begin in the first statement of the hadith. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ الْأَمْرَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. When Allah decrees a matter or orders a matter in the heaven. And this order takes place by Allah saying. He decrees by saying. Because Allah states in Surah Al-Imran 347, إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. when he has decreed something, Allah, he says to it, be, and it is. So, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ الْأَمْرَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, when Allah orders a matter in the heavens, ضَرَبَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بِأَجْنِحَتِهَا, the angels, the next statement, beat their wings in humility and in submission. The angels beat their wings in humility and in submission to his words. Submission, humility and submission to his words, and which sounds like chains, and the sound is like the sound of a chain on smooth rocks. What is this? The sound is like the sound of a chain on smooth rocks. Meaning, the sound or the voice in its impact on their hearts is like the sound of a chain on smooth rocks. And you know that this is a great sound. And here there is no intention of resembling the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this like, because there is nothing like unto him, and he is the all hearer, all seer. But what is intended here is to resemble to us what occurs to them from the fear when they hear his words subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would be like the fear of the one who hears the sound of a chain on smooth rocks. You understand the difference? You understand this point, inshallah. And it will yanfudhum dhalik, they continue to do so until it enters their hearts, penetrates to their hearts. Until then, until fear vanishes from their hearts, then they, some of them, will say to others, ماذا قال ربكم؟ ماذا قال ربكم؟ What is it that Allah, your Lord, had said? What has your Lord said? قالوا الحق. The others will reply, the truth. Meaning he said the truth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this answer of them, is it an answer really by them because they heard what he said and they knew that it is the truth, or they knew that Allah does not say except the truth? It is possible that they knew what Allah said and then they said it is the truth. So this, in this case, would be referring to the revelation which Allah spoke. And it is possible that they said that because of their knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says nothing except the truth. And that's why they said this, because this is an attribute of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you can see, this hadith is in complete conformity with the verse which was discussed earlier. And accordingly, it must be, therefore, in conclusion, it must be the tafsir of this verse. The tafsir of the verse we explained earlier from Surah Saba 34:23. And it is not accepted from anyone to interpret it by other than that. That is because if the tafsir of the Quran, if it is explained, if the Quran is explained by the Quran or by the Sunnah, then it is therefore a text no one can bypass or ignore. However, with respect to the tafsir of the Sahabi, the tafsir of the companion, the tafsir of the companion is considered as a proof established with most of the scholars of tafsir. Then what about the tabi'in, the successors to the companions? The tafsir by the successors, most of the scholars say it is not a proof, except that which may be particular to any one of them. Like for example to Mujahid, rahimahullah. Why Mujahid? Because Mujahid, rahimahullah, presented the Mus'haf to Ibn Abbas. Studying the Mus'haf with Ibn Abbas, he presented it to him 20 times or more, stopping at each verse, asking Ibn Abbas for the meaning of the verse. Then what about those who come after the tabi'in, the successors? Their tafsir is not considered as a hujja, proof against others, other than them. However, if it is supported by the context of the Quran, then the criteria is the context of the Quran. So therefore, it is not accepted from someone to say that if fear is removed from their hearts, that this will be on the day of resurrection. It is not accepted that the verse means when fear is removed from the hearts of people on the day of resurrection. This is unaccepted as tafsir of this verse. We rather say that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted the verse by a tafsir from the unseen. There is no room for ijtihad concerning it, no room for exerting efforts regarding its meaning. And whatever is from the unseen and established by the text, then it is duty bound upon us to accept. So regarding the matters of the unseen, there is no excuse for those who oppose what is established regarding these matters of the unseen by the texts, whether they are relevant to the attributes of Allah or relevant to the day of resurrection or other than that, because there is no room for ijtihad regarding these matters. As to the practical matters, where there is a room for ijtihad, then no one can denounce the one who may have a different opinion, except in cases where he would be explicitly in opposition to an affirmed text. Then we continue. What is it that your Lord had said? They say the truth, and He is the Most High, the Most Great. Then, the stealthy listener, the listening thief, and another listening thief hears it. In fact, it came in the Arabic, فَيَسْمَعُهَا مُسْتَرِقُ السَّمْعُ. In this there is evidence that as if he snatched it really quick. And this is supported by the saying of Allah in Surah As-Saffat 37 verse 10, إلا من خطف الخطفة فأتبعه شهاب ثاقب. except such as snatch away something by stealing, and they are pursued by a flaming fire of piercing brightness. So the listening thief, or the stealthy listeners who snatch what they hear, so one above the other. It is possible that this statement, one above the other, is from the words of the Prophet ﷺ. It is also possible that it may be from the words of Abi Huraira, the narrator, or from the words of Abu Sufyan. Because Abu Sufyan described the positioning of the stealthy listeners regarding the transmission of what they hear, as in the next statement. ومسترق السمع هكذا بعضه فوق بعض وصفه سفيان بكفه. Sufyan, one of the narrators, described it by spreading out his fingers. And he, the thief, hears the words of Allah and transmits them to the one below him, and he transmits it to the one below, and so on, until it reaches the tongue of the magician or the fortune teller. Meaning, one above the other. Meaning the fingers. So therefore the jinn, these jinn listening thieves, are one on top of the other, all the way until they reach the heavens, where they sit in stations. Each has his own station. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Jinn 72:9, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. And verily, we used to sit there in stations to steal, to snatch a hearing. But any who listens now will find a flaming fire watching him in ambush. So they hear the words. The one who is in the highest station, he transmits it to the one below him. Meaning he tells him, conveys it to him. Until the last one of them, who is on earth, transmits it so that it reaches the tongue of the magician or the fortune teller or the foreteller. What is the magician? What is magic? These are charms and spells by which they affect or cause effect in the body of the subject and in his heart, in his intellect, his way of thinking. And as to the kahin, he is the foreteller who tells about the unseen matters in the future. Some think that, some even from the students of knowledge, think that anyone who may tell about anything from the unseen, although of the past, then he is a kahin, then he is a foreteller. However, whatever occurred on earth from the past is not absolute unseen. It is rather relevant unseen. Just like what may occur in a mosque is considered unknown or unseen with respect to the one who is in the street. But it is not unknown or unseen to the one who is in the masjid. And it may be that a human may have connection with a jinni who tells him of what occurred on earth, although it may be of the past. So he utilizes the jinn. But not in a forbidden way. And so he cannot be called a kahin, a foreteller. Because the kahin, the foreteller, is the one who tells about matters of the future, unknown matters of the future. Some have said that the kahin, the foreteller, is the one who tells what's in the conscience of the person, intuition. It is a kind of foretelling if it is not based upon perception by examination of the outward, which is considered to be a penetrating farasa, examination of the outward indications. So if he tells about what's regarding a person by this way of farasa, this intuition, the perception by examination of the outward indications, then he is not a kahin in anything. He's not a kahin, a foreteller. Now, because some people may understand what's with others based on their outward features and what may be done by examination of the outward indications of the face. Although he may not know everything in detail, but he may know that in general. So therefore, whoever tells of what occurred on earth of the past is not from the foretellers. But regarding this person in particular, we examine. If he is not trustworthy in his deen, then we don't believe him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Hujurat 49:6, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Oh, you believe, if a rebellious evil person comes to you with the news, verify it, lest you harm people in ignorance. But if he is trusted regarding his deen, and we know that he does not reach this information by way that is forbidden from shirk or the like, so we don't therefore conclude, we don't make him from the foretellers. And what about a person who may tell of things that may have happened in a place and no one knew about them, and he tells about them, yet he is not present in that place, then we don't call him a kahin. We don't call him a foreteller, because he is not telling of something in the future. It may be possible that he may have a jinni working for him, and the jinni may serve the children of Adam in certain ways that are not haram, either because of love, his love to Allah Azza wa Jal, or for some knowledge he may take from him, or the other allowable matters. This is regarding foretelling. And with respect to the Sahara, the magicians, they may have collaborators from the jinn who work for them and who snatch the news from the heaven. Now, those thieves, those stealthy listeners, they can only reach the lower heaven, and they cannot penetrate the lower heaven, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:32, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا, and we have made the heaven a roof, safe and well guarded. Then back to the hadith, فَرُبَّمَا أَدْرَكَهُ الشِّهَابُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُلْقِيَهُ. At the end of the hadith, and it sometimes he may transmit it or convey it. Before the flame or fire, a meteorite strikes him, and sometimes the meteorite strikes him, meaning the stealthy listener, before he can convey the news. So it's possible. And sometimes he conveys it before he is struck. These shooting stars originate from the stars. See, we say they originate from. It is a part originating from the stars, but separate, penetrating that which it may strike. The scholars, rahimahumullah, said regarding this in Surah Al-Mulk, regarding the saying of Allah, regarding the scholars, rahimahullah, mentioned the tafsir, the interpretation of Surah Al-Mulk 67, verse 5, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. And indeed we have adorned the nearest heavens with lamps, and we have made such lamps as missiles to drive away the shayateen, and have prepared for them the torment of the blazing fire. So these flaming fires, the meteorites, originate from the stars, and if they reach the earth, they can cause faults in the earth. However, the star itself, if it reaches the earth, it will burn it. However, the star itself, if it reaches the earth, it will burn it. The scholars, rahimahumullah, also differed whether these stealthy listeners stopped or ceased from snatching the news after the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message until forever, or they ceased only during his time sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the latter one is the closest, meaning they ceased during the time of his prophethood alayhi salatu wasalam only. Why? So that there can be no confusion between the words of the foretellers and the revelation. Afterwards, the cause ceased to exist. The cause for their cessation ceased to exist. So they continue. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and then he adds 100 lies to what he hears. Is this a specification of 100, or what is meant is exaggerating so that he lies more than that? The latter one is the closest. It may be more. So he may do more than 100. And it may be, in some cases, maybe less. So it will be said, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ قَالَ لَنَا يَوْمَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. It will be said, didn't he tell such and such a thing on such and such date? And people regarding this matter, these strange matters, their position will be in accordance of what they hear from the informer. So they will take everything to be the truth. Why? If he says something and it took place or it takes place, and then he says another thing and it takes place as he said, then they will come to say, لا بد أن يصدق. It's a must that we believe what this man says, this informer, the teller. The benefits of this hadith. First, affirming the saying to Allah Azza wa Jal. Affirming the saying. Ithbatul qawl lillahi ta'ala. Second, the greatness of Allah the Most High. Third, affirming the wings to the angels. Fourth, affirming the fear to the angels and their humility and submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. Fifth, that the angels speak and that they have intellect. Sixth, nothing that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that it is the truth. Seventh, Allah the Most High allows these jinn to reach those, the stealthy listeners from the jinn, to reach the lower heaven as a fitna, as a trial and test to mankind. In what they convey to the tellers, leading to trials. And Allah is the all-wise. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us, lest someone comes and say, we were not warned. And it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may bring things that could stand as misguidance to some people, but to others it is guidance, testing and trials. The eighth, the muchness and the abundance of jinn in magnitudes, and they have light bodies within which they fly with ease. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned that concerning the magicians who use the jinn to fly them, take them, fly them to places, take them to Arafah on the day of Arafah. In the morning they are in their countries. Before the end of the day, they are in Arafah. Now this is possible today with planes and airplanes, but before that there was no planes. There were no planes. They were carried by the shayateen. They leave for them. They leave them with the brooms with which people used to clean their homes. And these magicians, they say, I take the broom and I fly with it to Mecca. They take them, they carry them, they fly them. Shaykh al-Islam said, they are liars and they use the shayateen. And he said, they even do something terrible. In the sense that they pass the miqat, the stations, for ihram, and they don't make ihram therein. You understand? The ninth benefit, that al-kuhan, the foretellers, are the worst liars, worst of liars. And that's why they add to that which they hear so many lies to mislead people, and so that they attain their falsehood. Sometimes by giving glad tidings and sometimes by instilling fear. Like they say, the day of resurrection will occur on such and such day, and that such and such thing will occur to you. 10th, the magician present to his subject deceptions, not factual things. That which is not reality, in essence. And therefore, in this there is warning regarding people of deception. And that if they say the truth in something, then under all circumstances, we should be on guard and watchful regarding them. Under all circumstances, we should be careful and watchful, and should not be deceived by this element of truth which they may convey. Because now we know their methodology of attaining this. And therefore we must not forget that their whole foundation is based upon deception. And they utilize this piece of information in order to strengthen their deception and mislead people. We ask Allah the Most High to protect us from the works of the evildoers, the magicians, and the foretellers, and the like. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.